Hey, Bakers. This is Kara with Positive Profit. Thank you so much for joining me on another episode. Are you struggling to find balance between your passion for baking and the demands of daily life? It's a thing. We're going to talk about it right now. So join me as we uncover the secrets to achieving work-life harmony as a home-based dog treat baker. Stay tuned for expert tips and tricks to help you thrive in both your business and your personal life. Are you ready? I am. Let's go. My name is Kara. Thanks for being here. And on Positive Profit, we empower and support dog treat bakers in their entrepreneurial journey. Whether you are just starting out, or maybe you've already launched your dog treat business and you've been going for a while, anywhere in between, maybe you're just thinking about it, I'd be happy to help you along your journey. I'll be your host and your treat coach, here to guide you through the ins and outs of running a successful dog treat business from home. Today, we're diving into a topic that's crucial for all of us: juggling the demands of entrepreneurship with daily life and finding that elusive work-life balance, or as I like to call, bake-life balance. Let's talk about work-life balance, and let's start by really defining what does it mean. It's really more than just about dividing your time between your work zones and your personal activities. It's really about feeling that sense of fulfillment in both areas, because that's when you start to really minimize your stress and maximize your happiness. Let's talk about the challenges we face as a home-based entrepreneur. We're just going to get on into it. As a home-based dog treat baker, or even if you are in the lovely state of California like I am, and you bake in a commercial kitchen, this is still going to apply to you, okay? We all face unique challenges, and it's really easy for work to spill over into our personal life. And what that does is it blurs the lines between business hours and relaxation time, especially if you bake at home, because your workspace is your life space. We might find ourselves working late into the night or on weekends, and that starts to sacrifice time with loved ones. How do we achieve work-life balance? I can tell you that you're not going to find the magic ticket or golden pill all within this episode. This is going to give you a lot of insights that you didn't have and some things to think about. But on your part, it's going to take practical application, and it's going to take the right fit, because we all have very distinct lives. So you're going to find what works for you. Like with most things, achieving work-life balance is not just about avoiding burnout. It's also about reaping the benefits of a more balanced life. When we prioritize our well-being and our personal lives, we are more productive, we are more creative and focused when we do work. We also have more energy and enthusiasm for our business. Okay, so let's talk about the tips. Tip number one, I think, is probably one of the most, they're all so important, but let's just start here. Let's start with setting boundaries. It is a critical step in maintaining a healthy work-life balance. Let me tell you, if you don't have boundaries right now, I would encourage you to get out something to write with. If you can't do it now, go back and maybe watch this video again, but write down your boundaries, because having hard boundaries, you can always refer back to these. These are kind of like policies and terms and conditions that you might find on your website. If an order doesn't, or a request from a customer maybe doesn't fulfill all of your terms, that's when you're saying, no, you're not going to do that. You're going to turn them away. Same thing with boundaries. If the thing presented in front of you doesn't meet these things and is outside your boundaries, that's when you say no. And we're going to talk about saying no in a second. So as a home-based dog treat baker, it can be challenging to separate your personal life from your work when they coexist in the same space. But you can start by establishing clear work hours and sticking to them. Not only will it help you stay productive during designated work times, but it also allows you to fully disconnect and recharge during personal time. Creating a dedicated workspace within your home can also help reinforce boundaries. designate a specific area where you conduct your business. Ideally, it's going to be separate from spaces used from relaxation or family time. And this physical boundary can signal to yourself and others when you are in work mode. For me, I have a little, this is actually part of my bedroom, but I have it curtained off over there. My actual bedroom space is over there behind a curtain. What's behind that curtain is a closet full of, sometimes it's clean, sometimes I can open the doors and show you, and sometimes, oh gosh, no, I need to put something somewhere. It's going in the closet. The curtain's closing. But either way, this is my space. This is my space to record, do the computing for my computer stuff, make this video, my podcast, and this is what I have set aside as my physical working space. Even though it's in my bedroom, it's cordoned off, if you will. And that can help you wherever that space is for you. If you don't have one yet, I encourage you to find something. It can really go a long way. Additionally, setting boundaries around technology use is crucial. Ooh, I might be the pot calling the kettle black. This is one of the toughest ones for me to do. Boundaries around technology. My life revolves around technology. This is a toughie. Consider, though, establishing specific times for checking emails and messages rather than constantly like being on call. So what I do and how I've worked around this, and I've been implementing this for about 2 months now, is I have something in the morning called power hour. You guys, what is with me and the air quotations? I don't know, but here they go. So I have power hour, and power hour is that very first hour in the morning. Sometimes I'm still waking up. I got my tea and I'm using that hour. It's when I do my quick hits. Quick hits are things that take less than a few minutes to complete. And then I also have some other things in there. I'm checking Facebook. I'm checking comments. I'm replying to things. I'm seeing, did my posts that were scheduled come out correctly? Do I need to answer an email? So all of those things encompass my power hour. And that's when I do it. There are many times, though, throughout the day where I'll be in the dog treat Facebook group when I'm not supposed to, looking at all your posts and your cookies and your cakes and your questions. And I'm like, oh, I like that. Oh, I love that. Oh, hey, you did a great job. That's when I'm doing that. And really, that should be confined within my power hour. I'm not saying this is going to be easy. I'm saying that you should give it a chance, give it a start, give it a try. Come up with a plan and find those business hours, okay, where that's when you're doing that type of work. And this practice can prevent work-related stress from really intruding on your personal time and allow you to be fully present. And lastly, you need to communicate those boundaries with the people around you. Like my family knows, for example, Mondays and Wednesdays, Kara is out of commission. Mondays is when I make my Tuesday podcast and show. Wednesday is when I make my Thursday podcast and show. And those days are long days. I'm not cooking dinner. I'm not answering the phone. Those are really the crucial days for me. And everyone around me at this point knows that. So I've communicated that. And I've also communicated my workspace. I put up a curtain. I let people know when I'm in here. I wish I had an on-air sign. Gosh, I'm going to have to tape these fingers to my hands so I don't use them. It would be cool to get like an on-air sign so I could put it outside the door and light it up. Kind of like my neon paw that I have in the background. I haven't done that, but that would really be fun. So communicate those boundaries to those around you, whether it's family members or maybe your housemates or even your clients too. They've got to know that you've got business hours. Maybe you have a special time during the week where you have office hours, and those office hours is when you're going to be checking emails or responding to clients, or however you set it up, make sure they know too. It'll help you for when you're off the clock and really available for that family time. By setting and maintaining boundaries, you're going to create a healthier balance between your work and your personal life. Tip number 2, prioritize self-care. You guys, these are all for me. I'm not kidding. This podcast is supposed to be for you. I calls them like I sees them. And this one's for me too. Self-care is often the first thing to go when you're balancing out work and life, because we always think about ourselves last. Our families first, our dogs are first, our businesses first, customers first, baking first. There's a whole bunch of things that come first. And as women, we really excel at doing that, which takes away time from us. But honestly, if we are not balanced and we are good here, all of this going on, if we're not good here, we really can't be the best for anything else if we're not good to ourselves to start with. This is one of the most important aspects of maintaining overall well-being. And as a home-based entrepreneur, it's critical to prioritize activities that nourish your body and your mind. This is going to be different for everyone, but generally, it would include regular exercise, meditation, hobbies, or just taking breaks throughout the day to recharge. My breaks throughout the day is I take my puppies on a walk. We have a little, I'm going to call it a track, but it's like a long circular driveway. And I take my little puppies for walks there. Stretching, I'll do a little micro session of stretching. I tell you what, these fingers, get out of here. Sorry about that. So I have micro sessions of stretching. What else do I do? I have my tea and my water. So I'm sipping water, but that's what I'm doing that while I'm working. That's okay. That still counts. Scheduling self-care activities into your routine, just like you would any other appointment. What you can do is you can treat them as non-negotiable time blocks dedicated to your well-being. If you've seen my calendar, which of course you probably haven't, but I would love to show you. So I schedule time blocks and I start doing this on Sunday night and I schedule my time blocks throughout the week. And my time blocks would be, of course, my power hour at the beginning of every day. I've basically broken up all my job duties into blocks of time. And if I've got appointments or things during the week, I'll go, okay, there's a 20-minute session of free time, and I've got a 20-minute work block that I've designated for these duties to take place. So I'll plug in that work block to that 20-minute free space on my calendar, and that kind of goes like that. So I work around my life, and that's how I prioritize all of my things. It used to be where I scheduled in my walks, but now I just know them. And if I don't do them on time, my dogs bark and they tell me. But what I use for this is an app called Meister Task, M-E-I-S-T-E-R, and then Task, T-A-S-K. Meister Task has saved my bacon. It has helped me to become way more productive because I am efficient, because I have these work blocks, and integrates with Google Calendar, or if you have iCal from Apple, or however you do your calendar, it'll integrate, I think, with most anything. And that's how I plan my weeks. And it makes sure that nothing gets forgotten about. Everything is put down there. I've got time for all of it. I'm not stressing going to bed thinking, oh, I didn't do this or I didn't do that. It's all on my Meister Task because I've planned it out, and then it converts over to my calendar. And it just helps me feel a really big sense of peace that I'm not wondering at 3 a.m. did I forget to do something? Because I move all my tasks from here's what I have to do on Tuesday. And as I do them, I put them in the in progress column. Only one task goes in progress at a time. And when I'm done, I just drag it over to the den, and then I, okay, next. And my day goes along. I set this up on Sunday for the week, and I would love to be able to do a video about Meister Task. I wish I had it when I was operating my dog treat business. It would have been very convenient, but I didn't find out about it till after. So that's one of the things I wish I would have done differently in my business, is to have discovered Meister Task. So I'm looking forward to sharing that with you, for you to become more productive and more efficient, and that really help with that work-life balance too. Let's talk about being mindful of your work environment. We talked about creating a space that would be conducive to work. Maybe you need a workspace that's also conducive to your well-being. So let's talk about the space that you work in, whether it's the office portion, like the business part. I think of, okay, so I'm just thinking of a mullet, right? Business in the front, party in the back. Thinking business in the front, baking in the back, because that's all the creativity. Oh, you guys, my mind. Anyway, create a workspace that is conducive to your well-being, whether it is adding plants. You guys, I have one plant over, it's a plastic plant, but that's okay. when I look over there, I think, oh, green, growing, nature. And I don't have to see the results of my black thumb because I don't grow anything. But maybe you're a plant person. I love plants. They add a touch of nature. They make you feel good. They give off oxygen. That one's not going to probably give off some chemicals. But incorporating natural light, which is something I wish my room had. It doesn't. But anyway, I've got lots of lights around me and they really simulate the good feeling that you get from sunlight. Maybe you have some soothing music, but just create a space. Maybe it's pictures of your kids, pictures of your dogs. Make this your own. If you've worked in an office, I'm talking about cubicle it up, but for you. Okay, go crazy. You're the boss. You can do it any way you want. And these small changes can make a big difference on how you feel throughout the day. I'm going to talk about your workspace in the kitchen for your baking too. I'm sure I can make a complete video about how to get organized in the kitchen, but being organized in the kitchen, that is also your workspace. And when you're organized there, you're going to be more efficient. So maybe you need to go through your drawers. Maybe you need to have certain cupboards that, like, this is my business cupboard. All of my business ingredients go here. This is where all my utensils go here. And you have areas in your kitchen that are designated just for your business. And that's another way you can keep work life separate. Don't underestimate the power of a good night's sleep, y'all. Ensure that you're getting enough rest to recharge your body, mind for the day ahead. Tip number three, delegate and outsource. What do I mean about this? This can be something that you might have the resources to do now, and it might be something you have the resources to do later. Maybe this doesn't apply to you. I'm not sure. I'm going to throw it out there anyway. As a home-based dog treat baker, wearing multiple hats is part of the job description. That's for any business owner for sure, but especially as home-based dog treat business owners, a lot of times we don't have staff. We don't have anyone on payroll. It's us. We're doing all of the things for our business. Not only that, we're moms, we're wives, girlfriends, dog moms. We got it going on. That's for sure. So recognizing when to delegate or even outsource tasks can significantly impact your work-life balance. So this is really not taking on too much and realizing being able to identify those tasks that somebody else could do. So when you identify the tasks that are time consuming, maybe repetitive, maybe they're even outside your expertise or they just don't align with your priorities, you can consider delegating them to others. So if you're really heavy on the business end of it, virtual assistants can be invaluable in handling administrative tasks. So I hear, I don't have one, but I'd like one. And it can free up your time to focus on the core aspect of your business. Additionally, outsourcing production to a local bakery or enlisting the help of family members for packaging and shipping can alleviate some of that workload. So here's what I did. I identified the tasks that I thought an entry-level person in this business could do while I focused more on advanced things. So I taught my kids, hey man, here's a peanut butter dog treat recipe. Let's review. And they became like my main bakers and I did all the decorating. We had someone that did all the baking. Some did all the decorating. Moi. We had someone that did all the packaging and then they took turns with events. So we really had a cool cycle going on. And that also translated over to the things that we did during the day. So how I got into this, I had a day where I just made all my dough. And so whether I'm making two or three or four different kinds of dough, that's all I did that day, dough, for sure. And don't forget, I was in a commercial kitchen and I had the resources and the equipment to do high capacity. The next day I would come in and I would roll it and then do all the cookie cutters and press it all, bake it. So first was dough day. Second day is doing all the baking. And then the third day is all about the dehydrating. And then after the dehydrator, they can hang out overnight, go do your thing. I'm going to decorate, then packaging, and it would start all over again. So that's what our week looked like. So I knew on any given day, this is dough day, this is baking day, then dehydrating day, decorating day, packaging day, market day. So those are also work blocks as well. You can divide them up that way too. And so these are some of the things that family members can do. Lord knows, I wouldn't have gotten anywhere had my family not stepped in to help me with a lot of those tasks, especially packaging parties. Hey man, I'm gonna buy pizza. Y'all come over. We're gonna package some dog treats. That was fun. No, that really didn't happen too often, but really family did help me out a lot. Delegating tasks, it also lightens your workload and allows you to focus on the aspects of your business that you enjoy and that you excel at. And this is a strategic move that can increase your productivity. And that's in turn going to have this cascade waterfall effect where it's just going to, you know, increase productivity, you increase your happiness, and so on. It's actually like a snowball. There's so many analogies. Anyway, you're going to be happy. All right. It's going to lead to a more balanced life. Tip number four. We've got five, by the way. We're on number four. Organization is key to managing your time effectively and reducing stress. As a home-based entrepreneur, y'all, can we get disorganized in the kitchen, especially when we're baking and things are like everywhere and you're picking up ingredients from the store, you have stuff in bags, you're supposed to get to it and you're wondering where to find it and it's in a bag somewhere. Maybe you've got shipments from Amazon coming in. You've got tasks. You've got appointments. You've got deadlines. There's a lot going on in our lives. Either invest in a planner or a digital calendar to keep everything organized and easily accessible. I have to say planner because not everyone is in the digital age, and I realize that. And what did we have before keyboards and internet? We had, y'all, our trusty planner. We had that little mini binder looking thing, and that was our life. It was like our address book. You guys remember address books? I'm really showing my age. Or if you're like me, I have adapted. I have changed. Now I'm using MeisterTask and Google Calendar, and everything is online. It's also handy because I'm not going to lose my address book. I'm not going to lose my planner. If I did, I don't even know what I would do. These kinds of things are available across all of my devices. So no matter where I am, even if I forgot my phone, great. I'm logging in, husband, give me your phone. Let me see what I have to do. So there's that too. Break down larger projects into smaller, more manageable tasks, work blocks, and prioritize those based on urgency and importance. I'd love to have a whole class on this, y'all. This approach can prevent overwhelm and ensure that you're consistently making progress towards your goals. Nothing gets forgotten about, nothing gets overlooked, and it's really a great feeling when you're moving your task into the done column. Trust. Utilize tools and technology to stay organized. Project management software, time tracking apps. That's a good one too, y'all. MeisterTask has time tracking. So you know exactly how long it's taking you to run your business. And if you don't know how many hours it takes to run your business, I would encourage you to find out. I hate to be talking about MeisterTask so much, but they have a program. It's called MindMeister, and MindMeister helps you lay out a mind map. So I've taken my business, Positive Profit, and then I have all the different branches of my business and then all the tasks that it takes to do one thing. For example, this show has a ton of different tasks, of course, that are dependent on each other to produce a show. And I do this twice a week, both for video and then for a podcast as well. Along with the business side, I factor in my power hours, I factor in all kinds of things. And I've estimated how long does it take to do these project objectives during the week. And I track it with my time. At first, I just guessed, and then I sort of fine-tuned it down. So I know how long it takes me to run my business. And that helps me to understand a whole bunch of things from there. So if you don't have something like that, it's really handy. Staying organized can also help you minimize distractions, avoid last-minute rushes, and maintain a healthy work-life balance. If you're like me, I was the gal that couldn't say no. I couldn't say no to all kinds of things. and other things that I had committed to, sometimes those suffered. Family life, that suffered. Promises I made to do this and that, man, I got spread so thin. Which leads me to tip number 5, learn to say no. It's easier said than done, but I'm telling you, this will happen. And it's a good thing, and it should. And if you've got your boundaries set up, remember like your policies, your term and conditions, if something doesn't meet those, you get a request in, whatever it is, you run them across your boundaries and your priorities and your terms and conditions and policies. And if it doesn't meet those things, you're saying no. And learning to say no is a valuable skill that can help you maintain boundaries and really prioritize your well-being. As a home-based entrepreneur, you might encounter those requests for your time and your energy that don't align with your priorities or your values. It's okay to decline the requests in order to protect your time and maintain your balance in your life. I'm not saying say no to everything, because we're going to make those exceptions for friends or for family or for whatever reason it is. And that's okay too. If you let it become how you operate and that's your normal, that is something that is going to, it's probably going to shoot you in the foot later on. So you can practice assertive communication when saying no. Really, you just, if they don't align with the things that you have set, it makes it easier saying no. Your terms and conditions are saying no. Your boundaries are saying no. But you can offer alternative solutions if possible. So saying no isn't about being selfish by any means. It's really about honoring your own needs and your own priorities. By setting boundaries and learning to say no when it's necessary, you create a more balanced and fulfilling life. By implementing these tips, you're creating fulfillment in both areas of your life. That's really what we want as human beings. It's an ongoing process, really, and it requires self-awareness, discipline, consistency, and a commitment to your well-being. You've got to be okay to do all the things. By finding the balance, it's going to enhance your business in the long run. And that's all for today's episode of Positive Profit. We're going to wrap it up. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe to the podcast or the YouTube channel for more tips and insights. And don't forget to join our free Facebook group, Dog Treat Bakers, at facebook.com/groups/startadogtreatbiz to connect with other bakers just like you. Thanks for tuning in, and remember to treat yourself well.